You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we talk to the curator of the second largest collection of maps in the country, housed at UW-Milwaukee. First, a Green Bay native is facing a court-martial for his role in a deadly Navy crash. Commander Bryce Benson was the commanding officer of the USS Fitzgerald, which collided with a commercial vessel off the coast of Japan last year. The crash caused multiple deaths and was one of a string of mishaps that got national attention last summer, leading the Navy to temporarily suspend ship operations around the world. Eric Litke is an investigative reporter for USA Today Network Wisconsin. He's been following this story. With us now to talk about it, Eric, thanks for joining us again.
Thanks for having me.
Well, talk to us about the person at the center of this story, Commander Bryce Benson.
So Benson is a Green Bay native, went to school in the Madison area, graduated from Marquette, and went on to a pretty lengthy career in the Navy. His first ship assignment as a commanding officer was the USS Fitzgerald. He was just about a month into his tenure when that had a deadly collision. That was last June in the waters of Asia. He was asleep in his bunk. This is during the middle of the night. It was moving through a very heavily trafficked shipping channel. And due to a variety of mistakes, the Navy reports on this say there were not proper lookouts posted, there was not proper training on radar, there was not proper transmitting so that the ship was telling other ships where it was. But a variety of factors that the Navy terms avoidable, the Fitzgerald collided with a container ship out of the Philippines, actually struck right outside of Benson's cabin. So he himself was significantly injured, had a traumatic head injury that he is still trying to recover from. And there's a series of investigations in the wake of that. And Benson now facing a court-martial, looks like, for his role in that as the Navy is deciding on who exactly to all hold accountable for this.
And multiple people died in this crash, correct?
Yes, yeah, seven sailors died. And again, experts say that a big part of this was there was no alarm sounded before the collision. So the large number of sailors were simply asleep in bunks, and that is unfortunately where the impact happened. So those sleeping areas flooded very, very quickly. Seven sailors were not able to make it out in time.
Let's look at the charges against Commander Benson. Some of the most recent news is that he was facing a charge of negligent homicide. It looks like that is not happening. Is that right?
Right. So there's kind of a few different steps in the process where they can kind of reconsider and decide what charges he's going to be looking at. So the initial charging decision by the admiral who's imposing discipline here did include negligent homicide. Now that he's actually being referred to the full general court-martial, they've amended that. The negligent homicide charge is gone. So he's facing two counts of negligent dereliction of duty resulting in death and one count of negligent hazarding of a vessel, basically negligent navigation.
Why is he getting this personal responsibility and liability? You mentioned he was off shift to the extent that a Navy commander can be. He was sleeping at the time of the incident?
Right. So the Navy tradition is basically whatever happens on the ship is the captain's responsibility. So ultimately, these shortfalls in training and in execution by the officers who were on duty, from the Navy's perspective, do fall squarely on Benson's shoulders. That it was on him to create an atmosphere where they were comfortable waking him up. There is a policy that if there's basically going to be close calls, ships in the area, the captain is supposed to be woken up so he can physically be on deck and be in charge. One of the officers who was on deck, though, says there was basically an unspoken culture on the ship to not follow that order in this area because it would have meant waking the captain up every 5 minutes. His attorney disputes that, but that's one of the things that we're really going to see kind of sorted out at this court-martial is how much is this, theoretically the correct orders and training could have been given and not followed, or was there a lack of training? There's also a really larger issue of what kind of situation the Navy was putting this ship and others like it in. So going back 2 years, the Government Accountability Office had produced a report at the request of Congress. This is a nonpartisan watchdog agency that really detailed the risks from ships like the Fitzgerald that are based overseas. It was based out of Japan. And the report 2 years ago said that shortfalls in training, reductions in maintenance, and a surge in deployed time was basically creating kind of this critical mass of risk that, something bad is going to happen. We find out in congressional hearings later that that report never even made it to the top levels of the Navy. The top folks in charge didn't read it. And tragically, that report was absolutely right on the money. In addition to the Fitzgerald, there were three other mishaps, a couple of collisions and a grounding, all in this area of Asia, ships deployed overseas in an eight-month span that claimed a total of 17 U.S. lives.
Talking to Eric Litke, investigative reporter for USA Today Network Wisconsin, looking at charges against Commander Bryce Benson of the U.S. Navy from Wisconsin himself. Let's dig a little more into some of the previous reviews. The Fitzgerald, the ship that Commander Benson was in charge of, in reviews, it had scored poorly way before he had been on board that ship, right?
So obviously it's difficult to know how much of this is supposed to be on him when he had only been in charge for a month. But, for example, the one of the audits the Navy did found that the Fitzgerald's training was out of date in 15 of 22 key areas that the Navy tracks, which included areas like communication and seamanship, which obviously were critical and central to the accident that happened.
Is it common for an individual commander in an accident like this to face charges as serious as a court-martial?
It is extremely, extremely unusual. Over the last 40 years or so, according to the Navy and historians we talked to, there's really only been two commanders that have faced a court-martial, and both of those were basically like a sexual misconduct type incident. You got to go back more than 30 years to find a Navy commander who was court-martialed for decisions they made in command of their vessels. So there is clearly, from the Navy's perspective, something that is different about this, and it'll certainly be interesting to see what additional details come out as we get to hear the testimony at that court-martial down the road.
What possible consequences does Commander Benson face from this court-martial?
It really runs the gamut. There is a possibility, technically, for time behind bars in the brig. Somewhere around 2 years would be the likely maximum there. But experts we talked to said that's pretty unlikely for this type of scenario where we're talking about negligence as opposed to willful misconduct. So more likely it's the kind of thing, again, according to the folks well-versed in these Navy law matters, that, you know, he could face a loss of pay and basically have a forced retirement, something along those lines.
What's the time scale? When does this get resolved?
That we don't know for sure yet. The Navy has not yet scheduled when the actual court-martial is going to happen.
What are we hearing from Commander Benson's legal representation? What's their argument on this?
We know he's stationed out of Washington right now and continuing to recover. In terms of the legal argument, basically, it does sound like they're going to be making some references to whether he was put in a position to succeed, you know, how much of a strain basically the demands on this fleet put in there, and then how much of the blame really needs to be apportioned to those under him as opposed to on him directly. So the comments we've gotten from his attorney have not gotten into that in great detail. But those are kind of the couple of main areas that you would expect them to tackle.
Seems like there are two different stories you could tell here. One, it's Commander Benson's fault. He had let discipline lapse on the ship, didn't follow orders, didn't follow procedures, including waking him up when he's in traffic. The other narrative could be we have this multi-year training problem in the Navy, shortfalls on this ship in particular, and this guy, 1 month on board, is a scapegoat for this. This is a really fundamental argument, isn't it?
It is, and it will certainly be interesting to see how this shakes out at a court-martial because there is certainly an argument to be made for both of those.
We'll leave it there and watch this along with you. Eric, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That was Eric Litke, investigative reporter for USA Today Network Wisconsin, with us to talk about charges against a Green Bay native after a fatal Navy collision last year.